Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Floss Weekly is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This is Floss Weekly with Randall Schwartz and Randy Harper. Episode 170 for June 15th, 2011. Strawberry Pearl. This episode of Floss Weekly is brought to you by Netflix. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, or TV instantly. All streamed directly to you, saving you time, money, and hassle. For your free 30-day trial, go to netflix.com/twit. It's time for Floss Weekly, the show about free, Libre, open-source software. I am your host, Randall Schwartz, MerlinAtStoneAge.com, bringing you every week the movers, the shakers, the big projects, the small projects, projects you've heard about, projects you might not have heard about. I like the last category because it means you're finding out about things that might be useful to you that you didn't know about. It's a great show. I love this show. I love doing this show all the time. We have some announcements about all of our guests coming up in Q3 at the end of the show. But before I do that, let's bring on our co-host, Randy Harper, FreeBSD Girl. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Very good. Very good. And is there a dog back there behind you on your couch?
There is. This is my special guest today, Leo. He's very sleepy.
After Leo Laporte?
No. Actually, okay. I got him before I even came on the show in the first place. I got him from the shelter. His name is Leo. I didn't want to change it. But people have asked me that many, many times.
Oh, I imagine so, since it's a small community for this. Well, we have a really great guest. We have a really great guest today, and it's actually very close to what I know about it. We have Curtis Jewell talking to us about Strawberry Pearl. Strawberry Pearl is a different flavored sort of Pearl. No, it's a version of Pearl, standard Pearl, but compiled to run on Windows. And the big challenge with that, of course, is that you have to have different interfaces to be able to talk to the Windows operating system. A lot of the code is already in the core of the Pearl distribution, but there are a lot of things that aren't available unless you have a packaged up system. So what the Strawberry People team are doing is they're taking standard Pearl, they're adding to it a lot of modules to make it more compatible with the way Windows works, and then providing a one-click distribution. You just bring it down and install it, and you're able to build stuff directly off the CPAN. This is really cool. I think it's going to be really a really handy thing in the future to be able to do this. You have any comments about that before I talk some more about the rest of the guests?
I'm really excited about this show. I've been using Pearl on Windows for a while, but I haven't heard of Strawberry Pearl. So stepping away from a Cygwin environment is really exciting to me because Cygwin takes up a lot of space.
Ah, very good, very good. And also, I just want to say there will be a lot less jackhammer noise this week. I'm in the quiet room now at Media Temple instead of the noisy room, so you probably won't hear any jackhammers this week. I really apologize for that last week. It was such a strange thing to have happen. But before we bring on our guest, I happen to have a special announcement. Again, this week is sponsored by our sponsor, Netflix. So this episode of Floss Weekly is brought to you by Netflix. Netflix streams thousands of TV episodes and movies directly to you instantly, which means that you save time, money, and hassle. And there are several easy ways to instantly access streaming movies and TV shows with Netflix. You can watch Netflix movies and TV shows on your Mac or PC or iPad. You can also watch on your iPhone. I do that. I would some in a public transportation area, I'll just pull up Netflix. I'll be able to watch a TV show on a bus or something. Very nice that way. Or a train. I've done it on a train before. And also some Android phones, too. If you have a gaming console like an Xbox 360, a PS3, or a Nintendo Wii, you can watch Netflix right on your television. I have Netflix on my PS3, and it works really well there. In fact, it's full resolution. It's at full 1080p on the PS3, which is really amazing. Just beautiful, beautiful images if you have high enough bandwidth anyway. And if you're not a gamer, you can watch Netflix on your TV with an Apple TV or a Roku box, and I have the Roku box. Again, it works really well there. Only 720p there, but it's still pretty nice. And it's inexpensive, easy to use. With Netflix, you can watch movies and TV shows instantly using any of these devices, and you can begin watching a movie or show on one device, then finish on a different one. I do that occasionally. Like, I'll be watching on my laptop, and then I'll be somewhere else, and I'll pull up my iPhone, and I'll pick up right where we left off. It's very nice that way. Whichever way you choose to access Netflix, you can watch as many movies and TV shows as you want, anytime you want, and you can cancel anytime. So we're offering here the trying Netflix today for 30 days free. So you go to netflix.com/twit, T-W-I-T, and be sure to use that URL when you sign up for your free trial. And we thank Netflix for their support of Twit and Floss Weekly, and we hope you enjoy watching instantly with Netflix. So now let's go ahead and bring on our guest. Welcome to the show, Curtis.
Thank you.
Hi, good to have you on. Good to have you on. Where are we speaking to you from?
Provo, Utah.
Provo, great, great place. I haven't been there yet. I think I've flown over it at least once or twice, though. So in the opening of the show, I described Strawberry Pearl to the best of my ability. Now, of course, I know Pearl really well, but I don't know Windows at all. Can you give sort of like the initial summary of why, what Strawberry Pearl is and why somebody might want to use it?
Okay. Strawberry Pearl, the goal of Strawberry Pearl is to have a Pearl version that works natively to Windows, but like the Unix or Mac versions, where you could install modules from CPAN and such without having to install from binary modules. You could compile from any module just like you could from CPAN and on a Unix system.
Well, that seems like it'd be pretty straightforward. I mean, Pearl does that on the Unix systems. What made it so hard under Windows?
Two things. You do have to provide a compiler. Mm-hmm. You don't get that on Windows by default. We provide a version of GCC and a tool chain that does that. Then there is the window. The little differences of Windows, the backslashes, mm-hmm. forward slashes, where a lot of places you do have to use file spec or else sometimes tests fail, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. When I'm working out what modules to install, and I do install an additional set of modules as well to make on Strawberry Pearl, it's installation of modules easier, databases easier, because a lot of times those are hard to compile, et cetera, mm-hmm. et cetera.
Now, there was a Windows Pearl out pretty early in the Pearl cycle. Actually, I think it was sort of 1995-ish time frame. From ActiveState. Now, how does this contrast with the ActiveState product? And is the ActiveState product still around? I don't even know, since I'm not in the Windows world.
Yes, ActiveState is still around. They've released 5.12 and 5.14. What they do is, while they have a compiler now, Strawberry Pearl was the first to provide that you can add on. You can mm-hmm. add on a version of GC to ActiveState now. But their recommended way of handling Pearl modules is that you download them from their binary repository, which makes it not all that easy to test when you're releasing modules.
Hmm. And so in doing that, by making... So let me just understand this a little bit better then. So back when ActiveState Pearl was the only Windows Pearl, I had to use their releases, their packages. I think it was the PPM, was it called, were their packages of all the modules. Is that correct?
Yes.
And then I would take those and install those. Now, I suppose that would be a problem, though, because if they didn't provide a particular CPAN module as a PPM, or if they didn't update their PPMs fast enough, I would eventually get out of date, right?
Yes. With Strawberry Pearl, you could stay up to date if you want, because you can install the modules straight from CPAN, just like any other Pearl system.
And so that makes it easier for people to use and interoperate with other things that are going on, right?
Yes.
Cool. So I don't know much about Windows. So I think, you know, one of the reasons Randy is on the call today is that she knows a lot more about Windows. Randy, you want to take some Windows questions and ask about how Pearl works with Windows?
Well, mostly, so I have experience with Cygwin, which is really unfortunate because it kind of requires that you install Cygwin and there's all these parts to it, and it can actually take up a lot of space, which is important if you're sitting on an SSD drive, so because, you know, they're pretty small and expensive still. So how large is a typical installation for Strawberry Pearl?
I'd have to check. I think it installs to about 50 megabytes, but that's because we're not just doing Pearl itself. We're doing the additional support modules that people will most likely need that can't be easily installed.
Still, it's smaller than Cygwin.
Yes, it's smaller than Cygwin. It's native Windows code. It does not assume that you're on SIG Drive C, etc.
So how long has Strawberry Pearl been in existence, and what's its maturity level compared to something like Cygwin or Active State, which has been around a really long time?
Strawberry Pearl has been around for at least 3 years. I got involved with it 2 years ago. I think it's more like 4 or 5.
Okay. As for... So they've been using it, or it's been around for quite a while now. So I haven't really honestly heard much about it, and I haven't heard many people talking about it. I mean, is it that heavily used?
I see about 10,000 downloads every two to three months off of Google's site.
Well, hopefully we'll have more people using it after this. I mean, it sounds great, and I can't wait to try it myself.
Okay.
So, what exactly is the target audience for Strawberry Pearl? I mean, compared to something like Active State or Cygwin.
Okay. Active State is what you have to rely on for, say, if you need a corporate support background, because Strawberry Pearl is just community supported. But at the same time, we do release usually 3 months or so, whenever a new Pearl version comes out. The other part, best I'd have to say is if you've used Pearl on Linux or Mac and you're needing to use Pearl on a Windows machine, Strawberry Pearl is probably the version of Windows you want to use. Or if you haven't had much, or if you had some experience with Pearl, even on Windows. It's not quite completely as friendly as I'd like it. It's getting better.
So one thing I saw referenced on the site is you have a version called Strawberry Pearl, and then there's Strawberry Pearl Professional. What are the differences between those?
Okay. Strawberry Pearl Professional is in the works. I hope to have it out within the next 4 months. That has some graphical front ends to make it easier for novice users of Pearl to use.
What kind of graphical interfaces?
Like a graphical interface to face the CPAN. Well, we're including Padre, which is a Pearl-based based editor and IDE.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also including a number of different web modules. We're including like Catalyst, Dancer. We're including Moose as well. It will probably end up being 100 megabytes to install.
You mentioned earlier that you weren't involved right at the beginning of this project. How did the project get started and why? And how did you become involved?
I wish I knew the answer to the first part of that one. As for how I got involved, there have been a few main people, maintainers, whatever you want to call them.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Kennedy was the last one, and he asked on the site because he wanted to make it more, how shall we say it, a little more corporate friendly to install. He specifically wanted the Windows installer packages rather than using an EXE, and that was something I'd had experience in, so I tried my hand at it. He sent him a patch. He gave me a commit bit. And I ran with it, and I've been one releasing ever since. I started, the first release I did was July 2009.
And what motivates you to work on this? Is this something that you're using in your work day, or are you just doing this on nights and weekends, or what?
I'm doing this on nights and weekends. So I use this because often I like to be able to work on my script for web scripts at home and then upload them to my Yates machines. But I don't want to have to test them on my Unix machine. I want to test them at home where all I have is Windows machines.
Okay, so it's a labor of love for you. And are there other people helping you with this in terms of commits?
There are a few. There's somebody I know whose handle is KMX. I don't know his name, but he's been providing the binary libraries, GCC, OpenSSL, etc., that we built Strawberry Pearl with. And then Alexander Chorney has been committing recently as well.
And how different would this be if I were writing code that, you know, obviously I'm familiar with writing Perl for Unix and Perl for OS X and things like that. How different would it be to use Strawberry Pearl on a Windows environment? What kinds of things would I have to think about in terms of portability and in how I write my code?
Okay. First thing I usually think about is using FileSpec or FileSpec functions rather than just assuming paths are separated with forward slashes. That signals and forking are probably the three major things. They're covered in the Perl documentation. I think it's Perl Win32 and Perl Port are the documents you'd want to read.
Okay, and obviously, I don't think Windows has forking. So how is it still possible to write things that look like they're running as a separate process then? Does that turn into threads or something?
Yes. Yes, that's what it does. They call it pseudo-forking. I think the ActiveState people actually got that into Perl, that you can imitate forking.
Are you familiar with the history of how the ActiveState Perl got started and the sort of process back there? Were you around back then?
I was using it, but I didn't really, back in the 5.6 days, but I didn't. That will have been around 97 or so.
Yeah.
I wasn't really as involved then as I was now, so I don't really know.
Well, as I recall, the ActiveState decided they wanted to support a version of Perl on Windows. In fact, I think got some funding from Microsoft for it, if I recall the discussions back there. And so they went off and originally created a separate product, and they named it Active Perl. And because of the liberal artistic license, they actually weren't contributing back the source code back to the core Perl community. But under some sort of negotiation and discussions that happened, apparently it was like, oh, let's bring it all back together. So at some point, I think it was 5.4, the sources re-merged into one tree rather than being two separate trees. Now, the ActiveState also added a bunch of other modules to make Perl work better under Windows. Are those available also in Strawberry Perl?
A lot of them. If they're released on CPAN and they make Perl work better on Windows, I probably have them in Strawberry Perl. For example, I install Win32 API, which basically provides the mapping for Windows API calls to be mapped into Perl. And I remember they originally wrote it. So it's on CPAN. I install it into the Strawberry Perl build that gets released.
So it sounds like this is a pretty mature product. What improvements do you expect to be making, like, in the next 6 months, year? I mean, what still needs to be done with it?
Okay, next 6 months are, actually next month, we'll be releasing a 5.14 version. We're updating the provided compiler, so we're going to go through a beta process that'll take about 3 weeks and before we release it on the front page. After that, I'm going to have to research writing code using the hooks between Perl and WX and write some of those graphical helpers that I want to use in professional, and then finish that off and finally release it. And of course, the regular every 3 months as a new version of Perl comes out, keep releasing Strawberry, and we're releasing both 32 and 64-bit versions. Some modules just don't install on 64-bit yet. I try when I find out about them, I try to file bugs. Hopefully they get fixed. I can't fix everybody's modules. I wish I had the time. I don't.
Yeah, that'd be a big project right there. So we've actually had a question from IRC. Somebody, Web8162 asking, why the name Strawberry Pearl?
It came from the original name of the base project to get Perl to compile natively on Windows using GCC. I should state that ActiveState was originally, and still is actually, although they're compatible with GCC compiles, they originally used Microsoft Visual Studio, which, of course, you couldn't bring along. So Vanilla Perl was the project name. Just think of it as a vanilla build of Perl that was able to compile using Windows versions of GCC, native Windows, not Cygwin. And then the next step up was, quote unquote, Strawberry Perl, where strawberries and vanilla go together. And they would, and that was the step where we're not just building Perl itself, we're adding the modules that are making it easy to use.
Is there enough framework in this to be able to link it in with something like Apache for Windows? Could we do? Is there a mod Perl for Windows?
There is, and that's one thing KMX is doing. He's helping. He's built a mod Perl on Apache, and I don't know if he's built Apache or not using GCC, but that's not something the Apache team really supports, unfortunately. They really like using Visual Studio to build on Windows machines for whatever reason.
Well, you can't have Mod Perl without Apache, so I presume if he's talking about putting Mod Perl together, it's got to be inside an Apache instance or it's not going to work.
Yeah, and you have to have an Apache instance built with the same compiler, and that I think he built it. He had to patch Apache in a few places to get it done. And I'd have to check with him about what's happening there with that.
Yeah, because that's the kind of thing that would actually make me, not completely cringe about Windows, is the idea that maybe I could do some mod Perl work there. Because, there's still a lot of Perl command line stuff being done, system administration stuff, but I'd say probably the dominant use of Perl these days is inside some sort of web delivery framework under Apache and mod Perl. So if Strawberry Perl or the efforts that are going around what you're doing there help support that, I think that would be an interesting option to people using, forced to use some sort of Apache server pages and all the .NET framework that they're doing now, which, again, I'm, woefully naive of, and I probably will want to stay that way.
I'm naive about it, too, so don't feel bad.
Is this practical? Are you able to get to enough stuff with Perl that you could do instead with like the other native languages, the native scripting languages that run under Windows? Are there interfaces that are just not accessible because there's no interface for it from Perl?
Not very, very many anymore. .NET is, that's a pain. But if it has a C API, Win32, you could probably figure out a way to use Win32 API to call it. So that's there. And Win32 API, I heard about 2 weeks ago, finally compiles under 64-bit, which is going to be really nice.
Cool. And does this is another question we get a lot from people just coming into Perl. Is there a way to turn a Perl application into a standalone .exe then with Strawberry Perl?
Parpacker works against the 32-bit version of Perl so far. I've received the patch to make it work for 64-bit, and that will be in the next 64-bit releases that are coming out.
Clarify that for people who don't know what Parpacker is. It means you're able to take all of the pieces of Perl source code that would go into a Perl program and put it as one distributable entity. Yes. So that you could hand it to somebody else. right?
Yes, and that package can include the Perl itself. Powerpacker can build an a.exe that just runs.
So it's possible then that I could create a product with this and deliver it as an exe, and nobody would know that it got created with Perl then.
Yes.
So it sounds like this actually is good commercial and at least sharing of source code or sharing of binary code for people. I know, I'm apologizing to the Floss audience because everybody wants source for everything, but some of us just want to be able to hand somebody something else and have them run it. And it sounds like this is a way that you could get to there. Can it do things like pop up GUIs and window interfaces?
Yes. WX will compile for Perl for Windows. TK will compile for at least for 32-bit. They'll both be in professional, and you can install them on Strawberry so that you have windowing in those distributions. In fact, I know WX specifically supports Powerpacker, or rather the other way around.
Now, how different is that? Would I notice the difference in the look and feel if I was using WX or TK as opposed to the native Windows? Or do those map into the native window calls?
I think they map. Padre seems to look similar across my Windows and Unix systems, so it looks like it's close.
What I'm thinking, though, is just, does Padre, when it's running on Windows, look like a native Windows app?
It does.
Okay.
TK, well, less so.
Okay, so and Padre uses WX then?
Yes.
Okay, so I could, with Strawberry Perl, develop something even on OS X using WX and get it to work right, and then port it over to Windows and build it with Strawberry Perl and the Powerpacker and deliver not only because Powerpacker also runs on OS X, I could deliver a OS X binary and I could deliver a Windows binary, but both coming from Perl sources and both being with native windowing environments.
Yes, very much so.
Wow, so this is nice because I had not known that it had gotten that far in the Windows world. So this is it's actually a good opportunity for people who want to come in and do some cross-platform development.
Yes.
Now, how many, you said you had a couple of people committing with you. Is that pretty consistent? Are you looking for more people to help you out with this project, doing other things?
Yes, I am. I'm looking for more people. I've got a few machines at home, but building all the versions takes about 12 hours. And then it takes about 2 hours to build the 32-bit version on a somewhat slower machine. And if there's a bug, I have to go back, so on. So it takes a while. If more people were working on that, it would happen faster. Yes.
So what would those other people be doing for you? Just downloading and building?
Yeah. Some just building. I could use someone to make sure the release notes get updated. That's just to someone who can commit to the website. I'd have to think about more, but if you think you can help, feel free to ask.
Okay, so you're also looking for people, obviously, to help you with debugging the Windows interfaces and making sure those all work and that sort of thing, right? So you want Windows experts too, right?
Yes. If you have some knowledge of Perl and you have knowledge of Windows, that helps a lot.
Cool. I'm just reviewing my notes here to make sure. So how do people look at the sources if they want to help contribute? I understand you're using Mercurial instead of Git.
Yes, I use Mercurial. That's because Git on Windows is not as mature. I don't know if mature is the right word, but it's very hard to use on Windows. Mercurial's easier.
Okay, so somebody, if they wanted to work with this, would have to understand Mercurial or use. I think there's actually a Git layer that can sit on top of Mercurial for that, right?
Yes, there is. And if you know Git, Mercurial is not that much of a learning curve either.
Yeah, it's got a lot of the same ideas with the commits and the tree of commits and and this stuff has a few things that are a little weird, at least as far as Linus is concerned, but it's acceptable. In fact, I know Linus has said at some point that if Mercurial had existed about 2 months earlier, he wouldn't have done Git. So it's not bad.
Yeah.
So we've talked about a lot of things. Have we? I can't see anything else in my notes that I really need to ask about. Is there anything you think I've left out in this conversation that you want our audience to know?
No, not that I can think of either.
Very cool. Very cool. Any last questions, Randy?
Nope, I'm good.
All right, good. Well, Curtis, I want to thank you for coming on the show today and talking about Strawberry Pearl, because I think you've been able to pretty much give us the boundaries and usability of this thing. And it looks like something that if you're on the Windows platform, you definitely want to check out. And thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And that was Curtis Jewell. He's the current project leader of the Strawberry Pearl project and lead committer. And apparently you get commit bits pretty easy over in the project because he needs more help. It's interesting because, and as I just said, I had not known that, you know, I kind of knew that at least with ActiveState Pearl, you could at least run command line type programs, but I hadn't known that you could actually get it all the way up to having sort of GUI. Randy, does that sound interesting at all to be able to do that?
I thought there was a Win32 Pearl module that allowed you to do some things like this. I briefly remember looking at some man pages, but then getting distracted by other things, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that sounds like a far less effort than writing GTK code to do the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, GTK is not bad, but boy, I tell you, it's a whole different mindset. I've done a couple of magazine articles and I built a couple of projects with it, and it was always like, now what do I do? And oh, this got to think about this way and that way. Although WX isn't that much easier, so it's just a set of a mindset and being able to generate it for that. I do appreciate the work of Adam Kennedy and David Golden, who actually came ahead of Curtis Jewell on this project. I know we mentioned Adam a moment ago. But the fact now that, you know, I bumped into Curtis at last year's YAPSE, and I was really happy to see that Strawberry Pearl and the whole Pearl project on Windows continue to be a good open source platform for being able to develop stuff there, make portability stuff. Because, you know, given the druthers, I would never get anywhere near Windows. But I know there are some people that don't have that choice because of business logic, business rules, whatever, and business choices. And so it's kind of nice that, you know, at least if you're stuck in the Windows world, you can get something cool like Pearl to run on there.
Well, there's that, and I think it's great for if you're trying to write a project that you want to run on multiple operating systems, it's mm-hmm. really nice writing it in Perl and having that option to, you know, just take the same code and run it on Windows.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. Well, so that was Strawberry Pearl. Let's see what's coming up next on the list. Over tab here. That was my awkward transition of the week, as I always do. I have just finished, or well, except for one slot, we filled out the Q3 schedule. That's 13 more guests coming up. So a little bit longer rundown than I normally do here, but I want to make sure that you guys all know the kinds of people that we got coming up. Next week, really looking forward to this. Bradley Kuhn, who's been involved with open source software for years, been a strong advocate, real big voice in the open source community, currently working with the Software Freedom Conservancy group, is on for next week. We have figured out how to talk to him using open source software only. We're going to be doing some sort of a VoIP solution with the SIP clients and everything, so that'll be pretty fun. And it'll also be an experiment for us to make sure that we can do that all correctly. In fact, we may just have False Weekly work that way from now on after we get this done with this one test, although Skype's been very good to us so far. Coming up after that, we got Travis Tidwell, just added to the schedule, in fact, MediaFront.org. MediaFront is a bunch of software to make it easy to embed videos and transcode videos on your website. That should be a pretty fun show with a lot of video going on. Aaron Newcomb's actually going to host that show. I'm going to be in Brazil at Fizzly. I'll talk more about that in a minute. Neil Gompa is going to talk to us about the Enamo content management system. I don't know much about that except the name is Enano. Okay. And I said it wrong before, Enano. Paul Beckenham and Frederico Hernandez are going to come on and talk to us about Task Warrior, which is the getting it done sort of thing. It's one of those command line based to-do managers. It's really cool. Lots of stuff, recurring tasks, all sorts of things like that. After that, next week, we'll be at the OSCON live show. Simon Phipps and I are going to scout around the first couple of days of OSCON to try to find a guest for Wednesday's live show, which last year that worked out really well. We ended up talking to the Rackspace guys about the new OpenStack stuff. We'll probably have another big thing this year, I'm pretty sure. Colin Percival is going to talk to us after that about FreeBSD on EC2, which should be a lot of fun. I think, Randy, you're back for that show, right?
I will be here.
Very cool. And he's also got an interesting project called TarSnap, which is a great way to do some offsite backups. And although not open source, it uses a lot of open source software. So he wants to talk to us a little bit about that as well. Perry McDowell is going to talk to us about Delta 3D, which is a complete environment that does physics simulation, visual simulation, 3D mapping, all sorts of wonderful stuff, built with government code. Therefore, the code has to be... it's all open source, which is really great. Chris, sorry guys, I should get the pronunciation of this when I book these guys. Say, please include the pronunciation. Chris Schoenemann or something close to that is going to talk to us about Synergy, which is the desktop thing that allows you to take the same keyboard and mouse and use it across multiple systems. You just slide your mouse up and it goes up to the next system. It's really kind of slick. Cross-platform too as well. So you can go be with a Windows box, you can control with Linux box, control an OS X box. Really fun. Brian Call, Leif Hedstrom, the Apache Traffic Server, which is the high-performance traffic proxy server that Yahoo contributed to the Apache project. Adam Armstrong with Observium, which is the, I don't remember what it is. Okay, well, when we get there, by the time we get there, we'll figure it out. We've got then Tomas Meraz with LiveCloud, which is another application system. Let's see here. LiveCloud, yeah, it's the thing that controls virtualization in a sort of a portable way. We also have Chris Moore with PCBSD, which is the FreeBSD version that sits on... actually, Randy, why don't you describe it? You know that better than I do.
So PCBSD is kind of a front end built on top of FreeBSD. It's meant more for the desktop market because our installer has been kind of intimidating to desktop users, and this comes with like a pre-installed X environment and all configured. Like if you have a Windows executable sitting on your desktop, it'll automatically launch Wine if you double click on it. It's really kind of awesome.
Very good. I'm glad we're going to get Chris in here to talk about that as well. Jonathan Ellis is going to do Cassandra, which is the high-performance, one of the famous high-performance NoSQL things, part of the, I think Apache Cassandra is what it's really called, but part of the NoSQL movement there. Great to have them on. And another Perl show, Jeffrey Thalhammer is going to come talk to us about Perl Critic, which is like lint for Perl. So it basically tells you whether your Perl program is kind of going off track, maybe not following local standards, not following standards provided in Perl best practices and stuff. I saw him give a presentation on this a couple months ago here in L.A., and I was just amazed at what it could actually do. I was not aware of all the great things it does. So we'll bring Jeffrey on and talk about that. A lot more people still on the list. Unfortunately, all of our Q3 is booked. I'll probably open up Q4 booking in another month or two. But again, if you have suggestions for Q4 and beyond, please have the project leader email me. That's the way to get him on the show, because otherwise I have to go down and dig him up. That'd be bad to try to dig those people up. So I don't have to go, you know, dig up their addresses and stuff and contact them. But if you contact them with your enthusiasm for this show, it really helps me out, because I get project leaders now emailing me going, your show must be great because people are saying great things about it. They want me to be on it. So there we go. We put them on the list right away. It's all very good. So lots of things going on. As I mentioned a moment ago, I'm going to be at Fizzlay 2 weeks from now, which is the big open source conference in Porto Alegre, Brazil. 5,000 attendees. I think it's one of the three biggest open source shows in the world. And I'm a keynote speaker there for the fifth time out of the last 7 years. So it's a lot of fun. I'm going to meet up with a lot of people that I haven't seen in a couple of years. I'm actually doing a talk on lessons learned from Flossing Weekly. So I'm taking the abstracts of what I've learned from this show and producing it and hosting it, and the interviews that I've done with that. And I'm taking that and abstracting it down to a talk. And I'm hoping to tape it while I'm there. Taping, I guess, is an anachronistic word, but I'm hoping to get a recording of it and put it in the Floss Weekly feed as well. So we'll see if that's possible, available for that. I'm also going to be at OSCON in about 6 weeks or so, 7 weeks, and I have a Perl tutorial there. If you're going to be at OSCON and you want an introduction to Perl in 3 hours, I'll be delivering all of learning Perl in 3 hours. High-speed stuff, but you're going to get a lot of value out of it. And I'm also going to be at OSCON looking around for more Floss Weekly guests. Randy, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at FreeBSDGirl, and I will be probably not going to OSCON this year. I thought about it, but my schedule's kind of packed because I'm getting ready for PAX, Penny Arcade Expo, which is not at all open source, but it's awesome anyways.
But there are a lot of geeks at PAX, so it's a good overlap. So I bet some of our audience actually knows exactly what you mean when you say you're going to be at PAX.
Absolutely. I'll be working there as an enforcer this year. So if you're there, stop by and say hi.
Wait. What's an enforcer?
So enforcers are a big group of people that volunteer at PAX, and basically we enforce things.
So that's recursively defined. Does that mean you're like bodyguards? You're like the ruffians? What?
So The first year I enforced, I worked at PaxOps, so I helped run the wireless network for all the attendees. And last year, I did a drastic change and went to line entertainment, which involves me going from line to line and entertaining people because, you know, lines are long and it sucks sitting in them for that long. Enforcers do pretty much everything at PAX. They make sure everything just runs smoothly and, you know, keep an eye on all the situations that might be happening.
Okay, well, that sounds like a heck of a lot of fun, actually. Now I want to be a PAX enforcer. It sounds like a lot of fun. I imagine they're always looking for volunteers. Okay, great, great. Well, Randy, and once again, thank you for coming on the show and filling in a little bit of Windows knowledge that I didn't have. Like I keep telling everybody, I don't know anything about Windows at all, so there we go. Thanks.
Oh, it was great being here. Thanks for having me.
Very good, very good. And as you can hear, we've got a lot of great guests lined up, so stay tuned to Floss Weekly, and we will be bringing all these great people to you and more after that. So until next time, stay on Floss Weekly.